again, inexplicably, it's Anime Death Spiral, the only anime podcast entirely funded by Soybean Futures. That's right, Remy, did you know that every time somebody eats an edamame, we get like an 18th of a cent or something?
You know, it's important in this time of strife and uncertainty that you invest in something that has a genuine hold on the culture, like beans.
Beans, they're not going anywhere. They are a staple of civilization, whether you love them or hate them, because there's a lot of soy haters out there. We all know that. We are making that bean money now. We don't even need to do this stupid show.
Look, it's been beans since day one. I've been ride or die for beans since literally the first time we picked up a bone and used it to smash another bone. You know what I'm talking about?
Them's just the beans, man. That's how they roll.
Kidney bean, jelly bean,
lima bean, jumping bean.
I have to say, unfortunately, I don't want to admit this, but I feel compelled due to our financial interests. The other day, I did order crickets at a restaurant, obviously the biggest competitor to beans in future.
You're going to bring in all of like the prepper conspiracy people in on this show talking like that. All the people that think we're trying to replace real meat with cricket composite.
It's already made. Yeah, they're already made of grubs. You guys haven't realized that yet? You've been eating grubs.
Yeah,
and you like it.
Matrix moment. You think that steak you're eating right now?
You think that's cow steak? That's bug steak, you idiot. You've been eating the bug steak the whole time.
What they may not realize is that it's not a composite. We just got bugs to be the size of a cow. We're at that point.
They've been growing them in secret. They're huge now.
Huge and tasty.
They're huge and firm, really firm.
I have seen the future, and it is bug meat.
You know, the thing is, the crickets are fine, you know?
I feel like being a kid in, like, California or the Southwest, like, you've encountered at some kind of, like, national park gift shop the lollipops, right? Or the candy that has a cricket encased in the center. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course. The novelty bug eating from our youth has become sincere bug eating.
Yeah, people are into it, you know? A family member of mine was raising crickets for personal consumption for a while.
Sure, yeah. They're not bad. You know, I had them sautéed.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Really spicy. It was like a chili thing. I feel like that goes best with cricket meat for some reason.
It was a Oaxacan restaurant, so we put mole on the crickets.
Okay. You got those mole crickets.
Love those mole crickets. It's pretty
Not
good.
To be confused with mole crickets, which are a thing. That's a distinct bug separate from mole crickets.
I don't know anything about bugs. I just eat the damn things.
You know, I'm laughing, but I don't know that much about cows.
You don't know that much about cows. You don't know where the steak comes from. Which part of the cow do you think a steak is?
The under under the skin, the all of it.
Under the skin part. The stuff that when you get the skin off, it's like in there. It's just in there.
Yeah, it's
and you have to get it out.
They put the steak underneath the skin. That's where it is.
Or else it gets the hose again.
Oh, gosh.
You know, speaking of eating bugs, movies, right?
Hey.
They had that one thing in that movie. Remember?
Oh, wait, are you talking about...
The Thing?
Are you talking about Denis Villeneuve's... Blade Runner 2077 or whatever it was.
2077. Denis Villeneuve's Cyberpunk 2077.
Okay, you know someone's jacking off to that concept right now.
It's weird. He took all the neon lights out. It's pretty much just concrete.
Why does everything look schlubby?
Yeah, I forgot they ate bugs in that. You know, because I went to the movies and I've been putting it off talking about it on this podcast for a while, I was just thinking about movies, and I was looking at movies that were in the box office on my birthday, and I got really disappointed.
How Facebook core of you.
I don't have a great lineup. Like, the number one box office pretty much on my birthday was Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, that's not a good one.
Nightbreed came out. That's okay. Not bad.
I mean, I didn't care for it, but
it's a good movie. Back to the Future Part 2 is probably the highlight for me. There's really nothing else.
Who is it for me?
Who's it for you?
I've got Leatherface, : Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
That's a bad one.
Yeah. What else? Something called Everybody Wins from Orion Pictures. I don't know what that is.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Oh, Internal Affairs. There's a name.
Yeah, Internal Affairs was, it did pretty well. I don't know why. I've never seen it.
Oh, and I'm missing the forest for the trees here. The big name. I got Tremors, okay? That came out 3 days after I was born.
So that's why you have this weird spiritual connection to Tremors.
Tremors is the perfect movie. It's like it's a perfect movie script. If you think about it, if you really think about it.
Oh, God. Now he's going on the rant again. Jesus Christ. Look,
All right.
I was just afraid that you were becoming like one of these Kevin Bacon guys, and that scared me. But if it's the birthday thing, I get it.
No, obviously it's the big worms. It's obviously the big worms. Come on.
But then why didn't you like Dune?
Because they weren't using big puppets. Because I liked Lynch's Dune. That's more of a contrarian stance that I like to take.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is also a bad movie. There's three Dune movies now, and they're all bad.
It's just a TV show.
And a TV show. The TV show is actually the best one, and it's still kind of bad.
There's several TV shows. There was the 2003 sci-fi miniseries of Dune. Remember that one?
Oh, God. No, I do not remember that one. Sounds terrible.
It was also bad.
Of course it was.
I think the best Dune media is probably the RTS game.
There are a couple good Dune games. Much better as a game, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's...
Haven't read the book, so I'm gonna say that Dune is mostly a video game property to me.
It basically is, but let's not get tied up on Dune. What did you see at the movies?
No, let's get tied up on Dune. Dune is great. I love Dune. The whole thing about being a worm guy, love that. I see that for myself in my future. But this birthday year, Gundam G-Cux came into my life.
Ho-ho!
That was... My birthday connection movie this year, even though I didn't get to see it until the last second.
This is, of course, the crossover production event that people have been talking about since the 90s. This is Gundam made by the Evangelion guys.
Yes. Another example in our desolate pop wasteland of a fan, unfortunately, finally getting their claws into the project that they've been obsessed with since childhood. How did this one turn out? You're asking yourself.
I am asking.
I went and saw the movie. I saw Gundam G-Cux. And yes, it is called G-Cux. I cannot argue this point any further.
Do they say it that way in the movie? That's the only definitive way to tell.
They say Gundam G-Cux.
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 They say it with a French accent.
G-Cux.
The French-Canadian accent.
Yeah, le G-Cux. Le Gundam de G-Cux. That's how they say it. I don't know.
They say, hey, that person's a G-Cux.
No subtitle on this one, at least in English, which is strange because, like I said, I think on the last episode when we briefly touched on it, this is sort of a continuation / spin on like the UC, you know, the Universal Century timeline, which you'd think, you know, throw a mobile suit Gundam UC thing on there, like most of them, just to warn people. But no, they just come out of the gate swinging. You see Char within the first 5 minutes, so you know what you're getting into. But then immediately fucks with you because, of course, this is Hideaki Anno and he can't just play with his toys like regular person. He's got to, like, smush them up.
I mean, I've been wondering because I know that and I feel awful because I can't remember his name and I can't be asked to look it up.
Hideaki Anno.
Not Hideaki Anno. The, the robot designer from Evangelion also designed the Gundams for G-Cux. And I was looking at some of them, and you can definitely see some influence in there. You know, they're very, I don't want to say over-designed, because I don't mean it as a bad thing, but there's a lot of, like, stylistic superfluous details to these robots, like armor plating that doesn't exactly make sense. And I understand that we're talking about Gundam. Like, the Gundams have always been, you know, very obviously, at least the first one, reminiscent of like a samurai warrior, right? With the big V kind of head ornament thing. And obviously the main Gundam signature is usually having some kind of laser sword, some kind of lightsaber, if you will. Are we allowed to call it that?
They're called light swords.
Are they really called light swords?
You know, it depends on who's translating it, but I mean, that's what they are. They're light swords.
You know, and so in this one, from what I've seen, they're very obviously leaning into, and I don't know if it's probably just this guy's style, but I feel like they're leaning heavily on evoking the image of an Eva, but as a Gundam, right? Do you get that?
A little bit. There is definitely the flavor is mixed in there. But I also, when I was watching it, I did notice, you know, first of all, like I said, this is the UC timeline. And
now many of our listeners may be unfamiliar with the Gundam timeline.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Y'all don't know about the timelines?
I don't think so. I don't think
y'all
so.
Y'all don't know about timeline? You want me to spit on timeline?
Just briefly, just let them know that the UC timeline is the downstream from the original Gundam, the one where you skip 30 seconds ahead if you don't want a spoiler on a 40-year-old show, but this is the timeline where Char dropped the space station, the colony on Earth, right?
Yes, the UC is our main core canon Gundam timeline. This is the one where Amuro Ray battled Char and eventually beat him, and the colonies are all kind of subjugated by Earth, so it's real ambiguous moral ending there, kind of like, well, what do we do now? And so the series continues on being morally ambiguous. We end up with like the most recent Gundam Hathaway movie, where essentially all the main characters are just weird political actors / terrorists. That's kind of where the UC has settled in now, which I'm fine with. But there are lots of Gundams. I can't even begin to tell you how many Gundams there are. There's if you start counting like the books, oh man, there's a lot of Gundams. But the UC is where the vast majority of them take place.
It's just, I think a lot of people, myself included, get tripped up because my first introduction to Gundam as a series was Gundam Wing, which is an alternate timeline to all of this. That's the AC timeline.
Yes. Gundam Wing is not particularly unique in that there are a lot of Gundams. You know, Gundam Seed takes place in essentially its own timeline. The big ones are, of course, the Universal Century, the Cosmic Era, Anno Domini, and late Universal Century and post-disaster, which is where my recent Gundam favorite, Iron-Blooded Orphans, came from. And also connecting that to the design of the Gundams in G-Cooks. I feel like it is a kind of a response to the Iron-Blooded Orphans design, which was supposed to be a post Gundam world where the main
Gundams were like a forgotten technology.
They literally are. They're like a precursor technology because the Gundam that they mostly pilot in Iron-Blooded Orphans is literally something they dig up out of the ground on like Mars. I like that one. That one's fun.
I mean, it makes sense. That's a popular take on giant robot. Robot being a lost technology that you have to learn to pilot, you know, kind of archaically.
It happens a lot. Yeah, it happens a lot.
Gurren Lagann, Big O, happens all the time.
Anyway, of course, Hideaki Anno is not satisfied with the six or seven currently existing timelines. No. Not only does he want his own timeline, but he also wants his own timeline within the Universal Century. This dude is so greedy.
Yeah, he's sucking up timelines.
He's out of control.
He did the same thing with Eva. All those timelines, he gobbled them all up.
This man cannot be satisfied by a timeline. He's got to have multiple timelines no matter what.
Do you think he has a lot of regrets in his life?
I regret all that time I spent at Ghibli.
Ooh.
I didn't know he was a communist.
Okay, so what happens? What because I mean, you've told me, you kind of briefly told me about this when we were hanging out a few weeks ago, but there's timeline fuckery going on again.
Yeah, this is the big exciting thing about G-Cucks. This is the selling point. This is not like a spoiler or whatever. This literally happens in the prequel to the fucking anime. So calm down. But I have it. There's without any explanation, this is just like a fucking what if scenario. Apparently, when Amuro Ray's colony gets invaded the first time, and the Gundam is just there for some reason, instead of Amuro Ray getting into it during the crisis, Char himself just like jumps into the cockpit and steals it and uses it to completely change the entire timeline of UC to the point where he like, for his timeline crimes, he like gets sucked into a fucking time vortex. But not after changing the fact that Char's faction wins the war.
So they lose now.
Or they do. The Earth Federation loses. Okay. The Earth loses. It loses its dominance over the colonies. So now the colonies are quote unquote free, but they're all just under a protection racket by the military.
That's called a junta.
Yeah, it's a little on the nose in some ways. Just this sort of like unaffiliated military force is just hanging around. It's a little fun.
Hey, you know, I liked Anno before he got all political.
That opens us up to a random ass girl from the slums in essentially what is a riffing off of the recent cyberpunk anime, like very, very clearly. This girl in these cyberpunk slums happens upon essentially the weirdo, like, I don't know, Higgs boson particle exposed RX-78 just in a fucking sewer due to things.
Hey, who threw away this perfectly good Gundam?
Yeah, and then just decides to, you know, to improve her station in life and mostly to avoid boredom with her public school life, which just sucks because she doesn't have any friends. She decides to use the newly discovered RX-78 in underground Gundam battles. Hell yeah.
Okay, so now I've been wondering this since you told me that fact. Do you think the G in the title is a throwback to G Gundam, where it was also about having, like, they weren't underground, they were state-sanctioned Gundam battles, but, you know, Gundam fighting as a sport?
I mean, yeah, they're probably calling back to that, but it's not goofy.
Does she throw a burning fist anywhere in there?
No, I mean, it's made very clear that, you know, as is Gundam tradition, everybody here is a new type. So we're throwing around stuff.
Sure.
But it's not goofy. It's supposed to be sort of cyberpunky, fun, but gritty. Like, you know, everybody involved is a fucking criminal. And if they get caught by the military, they will be assassinated. So we're dealing with some stuff. Okay. This is Street Fighter. This is Street Fighter shit.
Okay. All right. And she comes in as the Jean-Claude Van Damme Dark Horse contender. Am I getting that correctly?
No, because Jean-Claude Van Damme is like a trained fighter. He has like, he knows how to fight and stuff. She has zero knowledge of anything at all. She just gets
in. So she starts with no Gundam fighting skills and decides to get into Gundam fighting for money.
She has never piloted a giant robot in her entire life, nor apparently really showed that much interest in it. But much like stand users are attracted to each other, new types are always attracted to Gundam. So, you know, they have a fateful encounter and then start street fighting together, which is pretty good. I mean, that's a great hook.
Do they ever talk about like the Gundam manufacturers, like the scientists who make them, being like, why the fuck do these things keep eating children the way they do? They are just drawing in teens like flies and spitting them out.
All I could say is, yes, that is something that is talked about quite a lot. Very famously, you should maybe just watch Gundam at some point. It's pretty good. I don't need to tell you. Gundam is pretty good.
Hey, Professor, why did you put the special orphan teenager powers into the robot?
Look, man, if you are interested in that exact concept, you need to get up on Boku Rano as fast as fucking possible.
Yeah.
Again, you know, this is obviously because of Anno's involvement in Studio Car and all that. People are talking about this in regards to Evangelion, but I will re-enter into the official documents that Boku Rano is what people think Evangelion is. It is the true, like, what are we fucking doing here style mech show. It is beautiful and sad and extremely fucked up, and it is a story about why do we feed young people to robots.
I mean, I'm assuming that, like Gundam, the robots are probably a stand-in for war, right? Am I getting that right?
Well, in a fun twist, they are sort of robot duels because only one exists at a time.
Oh, there's only one fight between two robots happening at any one time.
There's only one robot in existence. I won't say more than that.
Oh, okay.
Watch Boku Rano. Boku Rano is the actual shit. And this is sort of in the vein of Boku Rano in that it's a lot about why are we feeding children to robots? Obviously, I guess we'll wait until it pans out a little bit, because I'm very, very excited to see the continuation of this. We only got about 80 minutes of the actual anime, but I can confirm, at the very least, despite using some CGI on the actual robots themselves, everything else is like traditionally animated and it looks fucking great. These characters look great. Their designs are great. The animation quality is fantastic. It's very fluid. There's lots of really great camera use. There's lots of really great background use. It's beautiful. And again, it really comes across as like a cyberpunk thing. Everything that is going on with like the high-tech, low-life kind of shit is all in there. It's great. I'm extremely fucking excited. This is good Gundam.
The series itself is premiering, I think, later this week. It's definitely on my list. That's one of the ones I'm going to be watching.
I'm so excited. Speaking of, do you want to take a break and then come back?
Yeah, let me get in real quick. Well, I thought, you know, I'd go and revisit some, you know, a building block of the anime Death Spiral deep lore. I went and rewatched Steam Boy this week. You remember Steam Boy?
Of course I remember Steam Boy.
Well, it was I think actually like probably one of the first movie like in a movie theater that you and I saw together. I remember going to see that because it also happened to be the first time that I had ever heard Flight of the Conchords, because they were playing that over the intercom at the theater for some reason.
Now, I don't want to spoil this beautiful memory, but I believe when that happened, you are confusing two events. One being when we saw The Ten, the horrible comedy.
You know
movie.
What? I totally am. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You know
yeah,
what?
I knew it. I knew it.
Well, see, you remember my life better than I do.
I remember that particular event.
That shows how compatible we are. I can't remember. We were talking about Katsuhiro Otomo on one of the previous episodes.
Yes, because of Domo.
Yeah, Domo. And I got thinking about Steam Boy again because I remember liking it. I barely remembered anything about like the actual plot of the story. This is a weird freaking movie.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So, do you remember that it had one of the main characters was a fictionalized younger version of Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind?
Is this the connection you made?
Oh, well, yeah, that's part of it. I did just watch Gone with the Wind for the first time a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Is this why? Is this the connection you've somehow made across time
Maybe.
And space?
Yeah, my brain works in mysterious ways.
Wow.
It it's got a boy, a young boy, Thomas Edison in it as like a background gag character.
You gotta have Edison in there.
Also, one final weird fact: in the English dub, do you know who voiced the main character, Ray Steam?
No, I have no idea because I don't care about English dubs.
Well, I mean, that is the version that we saw in theaters. And it was freaking Anna Paquin from True Blood.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool.
Or Trick or Treat.
You know, it had a pretty stacked cast. It had, besides Anna Paquin, Patrick Stewart, Alfred Molina, Oliver Cotton, all good names.
Yeah, this should have been a huge hit. It was not.
No, it almost bankrupted Studio 4C.
It was
famously the last time that Katsuhiro Otomo was ever allowed to direct a film. I mean, probably because it took him 10 years, more than anything.
Otomo needs to go back to live action. I think that would solve his problem.
I mean, he seems like he just likes directing stuff, and it's so much cheaper to do live action.
Yeah, he should just do a live action movie.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a beautiful film. You know, it looks like it took 10 years of grueling slave labor to make. Lots of beautiful, like machinery shots and weird steam contraptions, you know, which are kind of like Otomo's bag. You know, that's kind of the thing that got him recognized as an anime filmmaker was all of those crazy cyberpunk machine shots in Acura. The story is buck wild and also like really boring for the most part. Ray, I just cannot get over the fact that the main character's name is Ray Steam.
Yeah, it's very funny. Now, the big problem I had with the movie, and I don't have that much problem with the movie, I think it was fine,
is that steampunk is stupid, right?
Well, steampunk is stupid, but I wasn't really thinking of that at that point. The thing I was really thinking of was that, he's just ripping off the Rocketeer.
Yes, very much so.
He's just doing the Rocketeer.
He's doing the Rocketeer, but he's also doing Gone with the Wind. But he's also doing like he straight up throws up references to Sherlock Holmes and Jack the Ripper in there too.
Oh, if you're doing something steampunk, you gotta have Jack the Ripper and Sherlock Holmes in there. You can't not. What are you gonna do?
Steampunk Sherlock Holmes. It writes itself.
Yeah, that was that Detective Conan movie I watched that I kind of liked. Was fucking just throw super hyper realistic VR Sherlock Holmes into this like weird cyberpunk video game and then just have Detective Conan be like, I'm just as good as you, and him going like, yes, Conan, you are.
Yeah, here's a biscuit.
It's very funny.
You know, my problem, my takeaway from the film on this recent viewing is that generally characters have an arc where they end up at a different place, either emotionally or physically, you know, than they started at the beginning of the movie.
If it's a good movie.
It's a good movie. No one really does that. The 2 hours and 10 minutes of the movie is comprised of Ray trying to get this, MacGuffin, the steam ball, which is basically just like a nuclear reactor core. It's just like a little ball that can magically make steam forever at high pressure.
Yeah, steam reactor.
Yeah. And he's trying to keep that away from the Americans and from the British government, who both want to use it to make steampunk armies.
Good for him. Good Samaritan.
At the end of the movie, or near the end, kind of the big action climax sequence, is they uncover that underneath the London World's Fair, his grandfather had built a giant steam-powered
kill mansion.
No, children's theme park.
Oh, so close.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Devil of the White City.
I think that is such a weird revelation, because the opening shot of the movie is like his grandfather and his father, who ends up being the villain, and they're working in like this, you know, kind of like Victorian boiler room, red lit, very villainous, kind of reminiscent of like Freddy's boiler room from the Nightmare Before Christmas, Nightmare on Elm Street. And they're like, he's saying stuff like, like people are dying from getting pipes burst on them around them, and everything's in chaos. Oh, yeah. And
sounds like Universal Park.
Yeah. And his grandfather's going on about, it's like, you need to sacrifice to make progress in science. This is all worth it. And then his grand, like, vision, his grand design for all of these workers' deaths was to make a steam-powered flying circus, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's very funny because it's almost exactly what happens in Gyo. Do you remember Gyo?
Yeah. Yes.
Eddie, they finally they confront the scientist guy and he's like, I was just trying to give fish legs. It's like, why? Why would you do that? Oh, it's dumb. That's a dumb use of your time.
I just wanted to give fish legs. But why?
It's very much the, with this technology, you could have cured cancer. I don't want to cure cancer. I wanted to make dinosaurs.
Yeah, I don't want, it's from a Spider-Man comic.
Yeah, that's the Spider-Man.
It's like, I don't want to cure cancer. I want to turn people into dinosaurs.
Anyway, yeah, I remember liking that one.
It was okay.
Did you do anything else?
I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy VII Remake, or not Remake, the other one, Rebirth, which we already talked about on a previous episode.
Yeah, let me know when you get to the end.
I think I'm like maybe halfway, so that's basically it.
The two things, unremarkable things I did was I started on the massive Mount Everest climb of reading 3x3 Eyes, which is almost 600 chapters. I'm still pretty early on. It's fun to see some old ass manga, though. And despite what I said just a little while ago, I did start reading the Ishira books.
Oh.
And by start, I mean I've read six of them already.
Oh no, he's sucked in.
Oh fuck! It got me so bad. It got me so fucking bad. And the seventh book comes out like next week too, by a happy coincidence.
Yeah, Ishira.
So I'm going pretty fucking hard. I guess when the seventh book ends, I'll talk about it, because this is my first experience with, as they call them, light novels, which is just the Japanese version of YA, really.
I think it's slightly different. It's
it's like airport thrillers.
Yeah, they're a pulp format. I think they're generally on the shorter side. They're not like usually like novel lengths, are they? Or do they get like 300-400 pages? Are we talking Stephen King out here?
I'm imagining these are 300 pages, maybe max. It's around here it says a light novel is probably under 3 pages.
Under 3 pages?
Under 300.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Those, it says some of the shorter ones are like 180 pages. So these, we're talking about like pamphlet length.
These are adult Goosebumps, essentially.
Yeah, they are adult Goosebumps. They're not even YA, they're YC.
Yeah, young child.
Yes, you know, and it's about the level of maturity. But when I finish the seventh book, I'll talk about light novels a little bit.
Okay.
In the meantime, we got to get to some important business. We just wasted a bunch of time. Because, all right, as you know, it is anime spring 2025, anime spring season 2025.
We're gonna talk about it right after this break.
G-Cox. Anime 2025 Spring Anime Season 2025.
That's right. They keep making them. We keep watching them. It's a vicious cycle.
No, we don't. That's not true. Because we didn't watch anything from last season. We
don't put words in my mouth. I watched all about an Okinawan girl that is unintelligible.
Yes, and I did continue to watch Orb, which is good. See? It's a good one. That one, that's a full ass season. By the way, it ran continuously up to 25 episodes, I think. That's old school.
They don't make them like that anymore.
And they probably never will, because I'm looking at this list and it looks like these are all going to be 12 episode seasons.
Crank them out, baby.
12 or 13. I know I said it before, but let me just be on the record here. I don't like this splitting up season thing. I don't like it. I'm very wary of this trend.
You're against it.
I'm again it.
Yeah, I ain't for it. I'm again it.
I'm again it. It reeks of financial manipulation. That's all I could say. Something does not sit right with this, especially because I know Netflix really went hard on this way long ago, and nothing they do is good or just or correct or on the side of morality.
I'm not saying I like it, but it, in a general sense, it makes sense. You know, you can quicker turn out 12 episodes in a single season than 24, obviously. And then if you do that, if you're splitting them up like this, that means you can premiere more titles in a season and have them do a staggered release. And so this is a symptom of there being simply too much anime being made. That's my theory.
Yeah, there is a lot of anime being made, and in that regard we should just jump into this list because this is a weird season.
All right, well, first up we've got the new series, new original series from one of the big names, MAPPA, coming in with Lazarus.
Number one on the charts, Lazarus. MAPPA. This is, of course, the new Cowboy Bebop. Do I have to say any more than that?
I mean, they're just the promotional poster I'm looking at right now. They're evoking it so hard.
They're just doing Cowboy Bebop shit.
Well, it's got kind of a weird twist on it. This is the series. It's going to be a series about a future where scientists created a miracle drug that cured all illness and then disappeared.
And then it turned out to be a trap.
Yeah, it turned out to be a trap. He disappeared and then came back 3 years later and said, hey, by the way, you're all about to die. Ha ha,
yeah,
I guess.
In the parlance of our era, he came back and he was like, psych, idiots, I'm a demon king.
And I suppose this is about the a special government, like, cool bounty hunter task force put together to find out info about the mad scientist and his miracle disease drug and try and figure out how to stop everybody from dying.
In the description, they say, can they develop a vaccine before time runs out? But everyone is holding a gun. I don't think they're going to shoot the vaccine out of it. So
what kind of science are these guys doing?
Yeah, I think this is the gun science, sort of a John Wick style gun science.
John Wick is my favorite scientist.
This is probably going to be dope, unless it ends up in what was the other one? Metallic Rouge type scenario.
Yo, yeah.
Where we get pretty hyped up about kind of a big names, big studio coming out with something that looks interesting and then flubbing it super hard, which has, you know, strangely enough, happened a few times in the last few seasons.
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I'm going to, just out of sheer respect for all of the animators that were worked to death on this show, I feel like I have to give it a fair shot. At least three episodes before I can give a clear judgment on it.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely diving headfirst into that. That's one of my main picks for this season. Mm-hmm. Let's go to something a little less reverent here. This is one of your favorites, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this for months now. Please put them on, Takamine-san.
Please put them on, Takamine-san. Now this, you've been reading this for a while, right?
Well, you know, there's only a few volumes out right now. There's actually, it's been on a bit of a hiatus, presumably while they're making the anime. So yeah, I'm really hanging on the edge of my seat for that next chapter. I talked about this briefly either last episode or the one before during the recap. This is, of course, the show slash manga about the girl who has time travel powers whenever she takes off her underwear.
Great.
Yeah, you know, the rule, the caveat, like the one thing about her power is that she cannot activate it if she takes off her clothes herself. So she has to have this weird, the classroom weirdo slash rube follow her around with a supply of spare undergarments for her to change into so that she can activate her powers multiple times. And she uses these powers for evil. I do want to say she uses them to cheat on tests and to evade the law. And oddly enough, not steal stuff. She doesn't steal stuff, which is weird. But you know, all kinds of other manipulation and trickery.
I don't see what's wrong with those first two things, though. To be honest,
no.
Now, what happened when she was a baby? And they were changing her diaper.
That is a good question. I don't think the author or the audience or anyone involved has really thought about it that
has
hard.
Has ever really thought about the concept in any way. Now, I did at the time, just to balance out your particular shame, I did mention that I had also read a manga about a guy who was exercising ghosts from the girls in her class, in his class, excuse me, very importantly, his class, mm-hmm. when they would get curses that did not allow them to remove their underwear until they were fully exorcised by the underwear ghost exorcist.
It's a humanitarian effort. I don't know what you want from this guy. He's just trying to help.
Two very particular fetishes. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure I'm going to put that one on my watch list.
I've got to watch the first episode just out of curiosity, but I have no hopes. I'm just doing this academically. You have to understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to the next one, which is the first one on this list
Witches?
I have read the manga of. Not witches. This one's Oni.
Okay. All right.
Kijin Gentosho, Sword of the Demon Hunter. This is something that I've been reading for a long time because the chapters come out over a long period of time. I really like this one. You know, depending on the animation quality, this one's got the story and the hook to really go the distance, I think.
We got demons. We've got samurai with swords. We've got the Edo period.
How'd you pronounce that?
Edo period.
Edo?
Edo. We've got I don't know, are there powers? Does this guy have powers? Does he exorcise demons with a sword?
Well, okay, so here's the spin here. The selling point is basically his origin story. Our main character's origin story is essentially he finds out that his sister, who is a shrine maiden, is a demon, and it's his responsibility to kill demons. So he gets into a weird, you know, A very odd, uncomfortable situation for him.
Okay, I'm making this up, but is that also not the plot of Demon Hunter or Demon Slayer?
Yes, Demon Slayer is also about a guy whose sister turns out to be a demon. Though in her case, it's more of a vampiric infection. In his case, it's more of like this was like a destined by fate kind of scenario.
She's a fate demon.
Yes. In order to survive his own sister's demon attack, he accidentally eats a bit of a demon. We end up with sort of a mermaid scale scenario where he is now cursed with eternal life. And then we sort of do the Blade of the Immortal thing where he kind of drifts through time periods hunting demons in a sort of endless effort to reconnect with his demon sister. He does a lot of demon hunting, and now that he knows eating demons isn't a bad thing, it is in fact a cool thing, like a Kirby-style ability. He hunts and then eats the demons, getting their powers.
Hell yeah.
It's very melancholy, unlike Blade of the Immortal, which I just actually read the Blade of the Immortal spinoff where it is revealed that he's been hanging out in America and returns to Japan to fight the Shinsengumi. Just by the way.
Dope.
didn't animate that one. as far as I know. Anyway, this one is cool. It's very cool. I like it a lot. I'm partial to the immortal slowly wandering through long periods of time in an effort to find some kind of emotional catharsis. Just kind of a sucker for that.
Yeah. Well, you were a big proponent of Frieren a couple seasons ago.
Well, Frieren's cool. And of course, my immortal, which makes me laugh every time. To You, the Immortal is one of my favorite series like ever. It's fucking so great. And there's other stuff. There's other stuff too that I like, but this one is firmly on the watch list. I highly recommend this one.
All right. Well, the next one here is something that you've been keeping up with in manga for a while now. We've got Witch Watch.
How dare you? How dare you say I've been keeping up with this? I read a fair amount of it.
Only a fair amount.
Only a fair amount, and a while ago when it didn't have as many chapters.
Uh-huh.
Witch Watch is fine. It's fun. I'm sure that, you know, this is a big one this season, so I think the animation is probably going to be pretty good. It had a high budget.
Yeah.
This is within the Cozy Witch family, where a witch whose crush is oblivious to her unrequited love slowly builds up a harem of sort of demi-humans while being a cute witch. That's pretty much it, to be honest.
I mean, you left out the hook in that in the world of Witch Watch, witches have to choose a familiar, you know, like a black cat or a toad or whatever, and she chooses her cute boy that she has a crush on to be her familiar, which gives powers.
Yes, there is sort of some weird dubious consent issues going around this thing, but you're not supposed to think about that because it's just supposed to be a cutesy rom-com. So don't think too hard about the whole my childhood friend is my familiar now thing. It won't pay off.
Dude, my friend, I don't think too hard about anything.
No, you should not, of course. That one is probably watch at least the first episode just to get a feel for it.
I like the trailer. I'll probably give it a go.
You should. I think at least at the very least the animation is going to be great.
Yeah.
Okay. On to our first, I want to say isekai, The Brilliant Healer's New Life in the Shadows.
Now, this is not on my radar at all, but maybe you were excited about it for some reason.
Well, I will say when I looked at it, like I said before, if you're going to do an isekai, at least if you're doing like the doctor one, he can like cure the common cold thing, which is, you know, my big problem with isekais is nobody's out here curing the common cold. I really think that is my time to crate of isekai. How fast does the main character solve the common cold problem?
Hey, why doesn't he use his amazing isekai powers to, like, I don't know, stop earthquakes or something? Everything about that?
Yeah, or like just, you know, make people wash their hands after they eat food, you know, or before even. Just something like that. Anyway, I think this one turns out he is not actually an isekai, but it has the structure of an isekai, which is a guy everybody thinks is a loser turns out to have incredible powers, and a bunch of attractive anime ladies come to his aid to make his life cool, I guess.
I wish they would stop making this specific archetype of anime, but apparently it just makes money hand over fist. That's my only assumption.
This is the moneymaker. This is the Call of Duty of anime and manga right
this
now.
This is the FIFA 2017.
Yeah, 2017 in particular. Yeah, it was a really good year.
It was. It was a great year for FIFA.
Great, great year for FIFA. This one is just the only reason I looked at it to begin with is because he's a medic. That's it.
Medic.
That's really it. Medic.
Medic.
Okay. That is a maybe watch at best.
I'm not going anywhere near that.
Yeah. Kowloon, generic romance. This is something that's been on my read list forever because people have talked a huge game about this one. It's supposed to be very good.
Yeah, same for me. I am excited. I got excited when I saw this, you know, on the announcement for spring 2025. I didn't even know that they were doing an anime until maybe 15 minutes before we started recording.
I was aware that this was catching on just because of the popularity of the manga.
I have read a little bit of the beginning, maybe like the first five or six chapters, and I liked it.
Yeah.
I need to go back to it because, again, it was on my list for a long time. I think what happened was I got probably caught up reading Dan to Dan when I really binged on those manga chapters. But I'm excited for this. This is, as the name implies, a romance show.
And it's generic.
Yeah, and it's generic, and it does take place in the Kowloon Bridge City.
Walled City. The opposite of Bridge City. It's a walled city.
You can't
get out.
Oh, wait. Oh, is that what they're doing? No, that doesn't sound good at all. No, this is like a kind of fictionalized semi-cyberpunk version of Kowloon. But yeah, I like that aesthetic. That's like something that has always kind of appealed to me. The giant city building kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Tsutomu.
Yeah. Well, that, I was thinking Dorohedoro, stuff like that.
Sure. I'm excited for this because maybe this is just my mental image of it, but from my vantage point, it looks like a Wong Kar-wai movie.
Yeah, well, it's very much taking influence, I think. There's a lot of cross-pollination there.
I'm excited to see that.
So, yeah, this is definitely a yes for me.
This is on my watch list for sure. Okay, here's another one that I don't know anything about, which makes me excited. This one's called Your Forma.
Your Forma.
What does that mean?
Your Forma. So according to the description, at least, your forma is a noun, like a proper noun. It's a thing. It's some kind of medical cybernetic implant
It's a medical device.
It's a medical device that was then turned into basically like brain chip kind of stuff that gives people techno powers. Something like that.
My guess is that this is essentially another run at Minority Report.
It's a little bit like that. These superpower brain chips is that they also record everything that you see and hear and taste and all of that. It's not great. I don't like it.
Not great. Don't like that.
And it is about a Minority Report detective who specializes in investigating these kind of like brain report things to determine who's a criminal and who's not.
Yes, much like, very reminiscent of the detective mystery I talked about a while ago, about the guy on death row who does essentially brain dives into criminals unconscious to discover their identities.
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming this is going to be basically exactly that structure, which is fine with me. I like mystery stories. I don't particularly like Minority Report cops, so I might be a little unsympathetic to the main character, but I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know. It's a maybe for me. If you watch it and say that it's worth it, I'll probably give it a try, but it's not super high on my list.
Okay. This next one is Once Upon a Witch's Death. The second one with witch in the title.
Yeah, a lot of witch stuff coming in.
Yeah, this one is about a witch who has a year left to live due to her botched brain surgery, I guess. Like the brain cancer man from fishing anime.
Does she also learn how to fish?
I guess so. This is the Negi Pazi angler, but for being a witch girl. That's my read of this.
There's two genders, witch and fisherman.
Witch and bum.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That sounds fine to me. I like witches. I like brain cancer.
I love brain cancer.
I like bucket list.
Yeah, that's so weird that the main character is a witch named Meg, which it's also the name of a character in these indie comics by a guy named Simon Hanselman, who is very different in tone, very like grunge core kind of stuff.
Well, we don't know what the tone is. We haven't seen this yet. It's not out.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You're right. This show may also be about witches like doing drugs and trying to stab their drug dealer.
This might be about a dirtbag witch learning how to live with brain cancer. I don't know. Sounds great to me. That's a watch.
All right. If you say so.
Yeah. Okay. And then we've got Gundam GKEX again.
GKEX.
Enough GKEX. Said about that. GKEX. It's either GKEX or GKEX. You got to decide. I'm going with GKEX.
GKEX.
Yes. This is must watch. Okay. Moving on. Rock is a lady's modesty.
Hey,
don't
here
know
we
what
go.
The fuck that could mean.
Here
this
we
is a
go.
Girl band. Girl band show.
You're finally joining me in this girl band subgenre.
we are rocking out the girl bands. Cranking
them out. This is now this girl band is special because usually in a girl band there's only one like a fancy lad girl who goes to a fancy school and is breaking away from her fancy girl upbringing by doing rock music. Now it's all of them.
What if it was all of them?
What if they were all fancy girls?
What if only one of them wasn't a fancy girl and she was a fancy goth
she's,
girl?
She's the daughter of the janitor or something.
Yeah, she solved the rock equation on the classroom board. that's fine. Okay,
girl band
sure.
hunting.
Yeah, that seems fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Girl band. The next one is one of my favorite subgenres of anime, adaptations of Western literature. This is called Anne Shirley. It's the Anne of Green Gables. Yet another Anne of Green Gables adaptation.
That one in particular seems to be something that they fixate on. The Anne of Green Gables, book series.
Or as it's known in Japan, apparently, Akage no Anne. L.M. Montgomery's Akage no Anne light novel series.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no background with Anne of Green Gables as a story. I know the famous movie from the 60s, I think. I never read the books, and I certainly don't know what the fascination is with 80s anime depicting pastoral European like kids stories. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he knows what I'm
they
talking about.
They love that shit.
Now, what I wonder, why was there never a Little House on the Prairie anime adaptation?
Yeah, that's true. Little House on the Prairie, Little Women.
Yeah, Little Women, The Walton Farm.
Yeah, Robinson Crusoe. Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh,
wait a second. This is... I don't really have an emotional attachment to Anne of Green Gables either. This is more of a fascinating cultural product, sort of like I imagine this sort of as the pearl in the oyster, just a weird thing that got caught in somebody's throat a long time ago and has just slowly worked its way up to like a gem. I'm definitely gonna watch this.
You're gonna give this one a try?
Why could you not? Yeah, Anne of Green Gables anime. Like, how can you not?
All right.
And believe me, I know there was already Anne of Green Gables anime. I'm just saying, this has never been a better time to jump back in.
this is the chance. Everybody wants to catch up on 80 years.
This is your chance, people.
This is your chance to get in on Anne of Green Gables. Okay, this next one is a title that I snuck in. You did not have this on the list originally, and that is Food for the Soul. This is, of course, another food anime, so you know I'm looking forward to it.
No, they're the most perverted ones.
It's not a fetish. It's totally normal. This is a slice of life comedy anime about four friends from high school that graduate and go to college, and it's just about them eating food and learning life lessons. What's not to love about that? It's heartwarming. It's touching. It's relatable.
Yeah, we'll see.
I also eat a lot of food. What do you want from me?
We'll see. Remember when you read that fucking food manga and it turned out the main character was just racist? He was just a racist.
Listen, he was not a racist. He was just pro-slavery.
Sure. Okay, moving on. We've got Zatsu Tabi, which I put on here because I've been talking a lot about manga, about manga artists. It crops up everywhere, not just in manga artist manga, but in other manga as well. This one's called Zatsutabi. That's Journey. That is Journey. This is weird.
Is Journey a person? A name?
That is Journey.
That's Journey. That is Journey.
In this one, a failed manga artist decides that the only way to make good manga is by like leaving the house. It's literally a touch grass anime.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I like that. I like that concept.
Didn't we already go? Evangelion, the TV series in the 90s, already did this concept.
That a manga artist had to touch grass.
Just the concept of, hey, go the fuck outside and stop watching anime.
Go outside for like 2 seconds.
Just 2 minutes. Jesus Christ. 2 minutes. Go outside, take a walk, talk to somebody. Yes. Oh, are we just now discovering that good art comes from like internalizing experiences in the world? Are we just figuring that out? That good art just doesn't flow from the brain out of nowhere?
You don't make good anime from watching anime. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. That's just not, it's not enough.
We can look at so much anime right now in 2025 that is proof that only watching anime begets bad anime.
It turns into bad anime. It's like a human centipede.
I think you mean an Ouroboros, but
no, human centipede. Though a human centipede could become an Ouroboros if you think about it. Think about it.
What else we got?
I like the idea of an anime that's just, hey, touch grass. Okay. The next one is fascinating to me. This is something that is very strange. It's the Guilty Gear Strive anime.
Oh, God.
This is a fighting game that took inspiration from anime to the point where it became anime itself. Now retransitioning
back into anime.
Back to being an actual anime. This is a very strange one.
Circle of life, buddy. That's just how it works.
Yes, I don't have a huge interest in the narrative of Guilty Gear, even though I like Guilty Gear. I've played Guilty Gear games throughout the ages. What I'm most interested in is the fact that the Guilty Gear game has come the closest to making 3D anime look good.
Oh man, those screenshots of the most recent Guilty Gear game and like the special move animations, they look so good.
They look really good. And most
real
of
smooth.
Yeah, most of I chalk that most of up to the fact that, you know, single 3 or 4 second spurts of animation in that game have been worked on for multiple years. So I'm just dying of curiosity. Will this translate back into anime? I guess we'll find out, right?
I don't know. We'll find out. I'm interested in this. I'm just like, it's just going to be more fuel for people arguing online on whether or not Bridget counts as like trans representation. Yes, she
does.
Oh
boy. Yeah, great. I want to have that conversation again.
God, it's going to happen. They just keep doing it. Just enjoy the anime, people. I don't know.
Let's see. Hold on. Just let's see if a voice actor has been cast for Bridget. Yes, a voice actor has been cast for Bridget. So Bridget will definitely be in the anime. So we'll be definitely bringing this ship back up again. Okay.
Great.
Very excited.
Let's move on to something a little more uplifting. And that is, of course,
that is not how I would describe this.
Well, maybe not you.
Ballpark de Tsukamete. Catch me at the ballpark. This is another entry in the seemingly endless subgenre of guy who goes to bar. And there's a girl bartender.
Yes. Well, in this case, it's not just a bar, Remy. Come on, we have to give them credit for this ingenuity that they've injected into the formula.
This is what bums me out the most, is not only does this guy become a fucking desperate loser barfly, he becomes a desperate loser barfly for the bar that is at the local baseball park.
Not even a bar, it is just a drink stand.
That's so depressing to me. Like, this is deep loser alcoholic level. And it's essentially, according to the description, it's only because one of the girls at the park that serves beer is like a tsundere gyaru.
Oh.
Which means I'm going to leave this one to you, Nate.
Well, you didn't mention that gyaru were involved. That changes everything.
Imagine that, a Gyaru serving beer at the Tokyo Tigers stadium. That's Tokyo, right? Tokyo Tigers, or are they the Giants?
No, Osaka Tigers.
Osaka Tigers, excuse me.
Come on.
Imagine that. And he can't understand her dialect. this makes me desperately sad to think about.
Well, I think the most disappointing thing of all is that they chose baseball, which is, of course, as we all know, the most boring sport.
Oh.
Well, sure, but that's why alcoholics favor it.
Yeah, it's the most alcoholic sport.
The most exciting thing you can do at a baseball game when you're in attendance is get drunk.
Yeah, it's get ripped. That's the whole point of going. Okay, Nate, you will report back on that one. The next one is...
I hate baseball, but I love Gyarus.
Yeah, maybe you'll learn how baseball is played. That would be really interesting. He comes back and he, like, knows how to play baseball. This one is really interesting. This one is Yaiba, Samurai Legend, which is based on a manga created by the same guy who invented Conan. Interesting, right?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of interesting. I feel I've definitely seen this character, this artwork around before.
Oh, yeah. This is a classic.
It's been around for a while.
This is pretty much only interesting to me because of the Conan connection.
Yeah. It looks kind of like a... What's the famous ninja from Japanese lore?
Goemon.
Yeah, Goemon. You know, there was a very similar Goemon manga slash anime from like the 90s.
Slash Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah, slash N64 game. Very similar art style, which I think itself was already riffing off of the Detective Conan style.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll watch this because...
You like Conan O'Brien.
Okay. What is this one called? Teogonia, which sounds like some kind of horrible disease.
Oh, man, I got the worst case of Teogonia last week.
I don't want to hear about it.
It was right up there next to my corns on my feet.
That's just what happens when you go to Tijuana. I'm sorry. This one is about, like, old school, just straight up fighting monsters.
Fighting monsters. You know what? Yeah. Sometimes a throwback in themes is popular.
Yeah.
You know, we got your Samurai Deepers. We got your Kings of Hell. I don't know, the early 2000s samurai manga about fighting demons. I see it all in here.
I didn't say samurai. He's really more of a punchy boy, as far as I could tell.
He's a punchy boy. He has a sword at his side. I'm just calling it as I see it.
I guess we'll find out. This is feudal Japan. Punchy boy fights demi-humans.
He's fighting monkey people. He's fighting pig people. He's fighting ghost people.
None of them allegories for anything, by the way.
Yeah, I want to get that out of the way.
They're not stand-ins.
There is no deeper symbolism going on here. No, no visual metaphor.
It's just feudal Japan.
Everything is 100% as you see it sincere.
everything is just sincere. Nothing else to it. Don't think too hard. Okay, I'm giving that one a shot for sure. The next one, hashtag compass 2.0 : Sento Setsuri Kaiseki System.
What?
This is both Summer Wars and JoJo. People go into Summer Wars world to find their JoJo stand partner, and then they battle each other, I guess.
That's Digimon.
Seems fine. No, Digimon are Pokemon. These are stands.
Yeah, but you have to go into Summer Wars to get your specials. You only get one. That's the thing. That's the thing with Digimon is you only get one.
Yeah, but Digimon are still, at their core, Pokemon. These are stands. They are not Pokemon.
Pokemon
in any
are
way.
Pocket monsters. Digimon are digital monsters. They're different.
Okay, well, we'll wait until the first episode comes out, and then you tell me whether they're stands or Digimon, because I think they're stands.
Okay, all right. Well, stands can be Digimon, too.
No, they can't. Stands are not Digimon. I will fucking fight you on this after the episode comes out. Let's have this conversation later.
Okay,
the next one is... This has no English, so you gotta just trust me here. Oide yo maho shoujo mura. And then in parentheses it says fuho senkyo. Don't know what any of that means. This one is about a 43-year-old woman who apparently has a nervous breakdown and tries to form a magical girl village full with other people having seemingly a mental health crisis.
This is very reminiscent of the like Arrested Development League of Wizards. We demand to be respected.
This one, actually, the first thing I thought of was, do you remember Arakawa Under the Bridge? Do you have any memories of that? I talked about it a long time ago, I think.
No, not really.
Arakawa Under the Bridge, Nakamura Hikaru. And it was about an office worker who, essentially has a mental breakdown and starts hanging out with this homeless girl under a bridge.
Dope.
And it's like it's a comedy about a guy who's just pretty much losing it completely, and this girl who's also seemingly completely insane, like full mental health crises all the way around, just kind of hanging out with each other and trying to deal with their mental illness as more and more mentally ill people just gather around them under this bridge. It's one of the weirder things I've ever read. And that is the vibe I get off of Oide Yo Maho Shoujo Mura, which makes me really very curious about it, because I really liked Arakawa Under the Bridge.
I mean, we should point out that this is based off of a gag manga, you know, single page kind of four coma stuff. And
yes.
So it's probably going to be real, like the super short form episodes that I've been seeing pop up here and there for stuff like this.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Here it says 1 minute per episode.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Was it Honorable Farmer Arakawa? I think the Overweight Elf series was also like this. They were like, yes, 5 minute episodes.
Oh, God. That actually makes me more excited, because you know what? Comedy should be in and out. You know what I mean? Like, don't waste our time.
You know what? Don't take up more room than you have to. It just leaves more space for more jokes.
It's the constant sketch comedy problem, right? How do you get out of a sketch?
You just end it. You just end it.
The answer is you just don't. You just go. You leave.
Yeah, you tell the joke and then you go.
Superior format. Okay. Anyway, I'm definitely going to check that out. Okay, now we're getting to some weird stuff. We have a Jujutsu Kaisen movie.
Yes, the Gojo / I can't remember the other guy's name.
Geto.
Yeah, Geto. I'm already purging everything about Jujutsu Kaisen out of my brain.
I can't believe this is already happening. So this is basically just for the Gojo Geto / Fickers.
Yeah,
that's what this movie is.
But it's a compilation movie of the first six episodes of the season, which is the flashback arc, basically.
Yes, and most importantly, this has the finished animations in it.
Oh, they finally. I thought you couldn't beat a dead animator anymore.
Nope. They did it. They went back and I'm a fix wolves on this shit. So that'll be fun. Next up, Virgin Punk. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I was reading a little bit about it earlier when we were going through the list.
This is the first movie being made by the guy who did Kaite. You remember Kaite, the incredibly notorious movie that was supposedly in folklore a hentai that was expanded out into a real anime?
Oh, yes. You mean Kite.
Sure. Yeah, Kite.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes. It was the hentai. First of all, if it's not a hentai, why does it show up on hentai sites? Huh? Have we asked ourselves that?
I don't know. You tell me.
No, I don't know much about Virgin Punk, but knowing that information about the author, maybe I can extrapolate some real weird scenarios based off the title.
Yeah, kind of weird. I was like, huh. But, you know,
now going with the classic punk naming convention, I am assuming this is based in a world where everything is somehow run and powered off of virgin power somehow. You know, steampunk.
It's got to be.
Diesel punk.
It has to be, right?
Punk is, of course, where you use punks as fuel to run cars.
I will accept no other theories until it actually comes out.
So I'm assuming that, like modern day Japan, this is a virgin grinding machine to power society.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm very excited for this. The animation looks great. Obviously, Kite only became notorious because it actually did have really great animation in it. The director also has just put in so much fucking solid work on other people's anime for like a very long time. you know, he worked on that Spriggan, 1998 Spriggan.
Hell yeah.
Movie that we really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's worked on Angel Cop, Ikitosin. He's done a couple Loop on the Third movies. He did Dark Side Blues. He actually worked on that Outlanders movie you talked about.
Yeah, and I've talked about Dark Side Blues a few times.
Yeah, Dark Side Blues is cool. Like, just a lot of shit that is legendary from the 90s. So, you know, I'm down. What can I say? I'm down.
Yeah, man's got chops. You can't get around it.
He's got the chops, even though he made hentai. But, you know, who else? You know what? A lot of anime from the 90s, especially the early 90s, was a fucking... one very small piece of cloth away from being a hentai. Okay,
who are we to judge?
Maybe it's a closer thing than people thought. Okay, I'll just say it.
Just saying. All right.
Everybody, calm down.
Just back up a bit.
I am the evil lord of an intergalactic empire. This is really the God. Is this the third thing I've actually read on this list?
Can you tell me?
I read. Let's see. Kijin Gentosho, I read that. I read Witch Watch. Yeah, this is the third thing I've read. I don't particularly like this one. I'm the evil lord of an intergalactic empire is an isekai about a dumbass loser who is manipulated by the world's version of the goddess, which is kind of a trickster god asshole, who ruins people's lives to the point where they get isekai'd out of pure despair, and then he, like, makes them live an isekai life and then destroys that life too so that they also get isekai'd out of pure despair. He's a big dick. He's a piece of shit.
Sounds like a piece of shit.
Unfortunately, this guy who he isekai'd has such a noble and innocent heart that even though he is trying his best to become this world's demon lord, he just accidentally keeps doing good things for people. That's the gag.
Okay, so this is a evil guy is bad at being evil gag.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right. We've seen this a number of times before. It's not quite the same, but Mr. Villain's Day Off is kind of like that. Evil guy isn't actually evil.
Yeah, evil guy just, who's not actually evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Osamu Dazai isekai.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the permutation of this concept is the... let this something go to, you know, go to peace.
Let this grieving hearts retire.
Yes. Let these grieving hearts retire. Thank you. See
something. I think that's in the name of something.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of the right one. This is about the guy who isn't powerful, but everyone thinks he's powerful, and he's so bad at being normal that everyone assumes that he's doing some kind of, grand master plan with all of his actions, but he's just like, I'm just a normal guy.
Yes. The only real interesting, and by interesting I mean a creepy thing about this is that at the very beginning this is a baby isekai, so he is born into this new world, and his parents allow him to choose a robot to raise him, essentially, because he's born into nobility and his parents are like fucking off the planet.
Screw this shit. We're out of here, kid.
And he chooses like a sex bot as his mom, his surrogate mom. So that's, I don't
like that.
It's weird. And it's not even like a thing. It's not even tonally consistent with the rest of the manga. So it's just like a weird, uncomfortable thing that the author threw in there.
Yeah, well, it's the other weird isekai that you didn't put on this list, but is very similar in vein to this one, is reincarnated as my mother in another world, where a super powerful evil guy gets defeated, and he reincarnates as his own mother and has to raise himself.
Man, that's like from that a child. Messed up shit, man.
It's messed up, right?
That is gonna fuck you up so fucking bad. Oh man, I shudder to think about that. Okay, moving on. Moonrise. I don't really know anything about this except this is one of Wit Studios' entries this year. They've done a few things on this list. This looks like maybe it's one of their originals, which is interesting. All I know about this is that it is using, according to the description, it is using an innovative type of animation unlike any seen before.
What does that mean?
What? I don't know what that could possibly mean.
What does that mean?
So I am going to be watching that. That one's coming out on Netflix.
Oh, so you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Let's just tuck that one behind our ear in case that animation style is actually something we've never seen before.
I mean, I'm on pins and needles trying to figure out what that statement could even
possibly mean. What does that mean?
We've perfected hydro animation. It's all with water.
What if it's just rotoscoping again?
Hey, we reinvented rotoscoping.
Okay, the next one is Maybashi Witches, which I only really put on here because it's another witches.
More witches.
This one's about a girl who like has some kind of Narnia closet and it lets her become a witch, I guess. I don't know. Sounds more cozy witch type shit.
Sure.
Cozy witch, man. That shit is blown up.
I don't know exactly what the instigator for it was because, you know, Trigger did Little Witch Academia like a decade ago. They look like they were ahead of their time at this point. And of course, maybe there's a big cultural revisiting of Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think that's very solidly a big influence on all this cozy witch kind of subgenre stuff that's coming out these days. So I don't know, maybe it's that, but it's maybe witches are just in. Maybe they're just realizing that people are getting tired of the bog standard magical girl, and we want to give it a little bit of a twist. Maybe our magical girls do like blood sacrifices now. I don't know. That's what witches are about.
I'd love a cozy witch that would truly be like doing Shakespearean witch stuff, like dooming kings,
like,
and shit,
making out with Satan and shit.
Yeah, that'd be cool as hell. Okay, anyway, that's a witch thing. We're moving on. This is the first incest anime that I think we've had on the list. That's pretty good. That means this season is really pulling forward. Only one incest anime.
Hey, there's at least a couple of original anime on here that have room to introduce incest that we don't know about yet. I'm just saying.
Yes, that's true. That's when we do our episode one reports, we'll tally them up. But this one is very explicitly incest. The Shiunji family children. Guess what? There's a bunch of family children. And guess what? They are all step siblings and they're going to fuck each other. Yep.
God damn it.
Yep.
It's just the Brady Bunch all over again.
It is. It's the Brady Bunch, but they're going to fuck each other. That's really it. That's all. So you're going to watch that one. That's on
Come
you,
on, man. Don't put that on me. I'm not that into that sick, perverted stuff. I'm not one of those weirdos. I'm going to be over here in a dignified fashion watching Umu Musume Cinderella Gray, the Umu Musume Pretty Derby spinoff centering on the character of Cinderella Gray, who is the silver-haired destiny pony of the series.
Yes, she's the edgy child, right?
Well, she's the super self-serious, like, I'm the best, nobody better get in my way,
yes,
kind of girl archetype. Well, horse archetype, excuse me.
Yes, this one does seem a little edgier than the other horse girls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will have like a murder mystery component to it.
Well, she is the one that notably has to wear blinders all the time because she's skittish.
Oh, fuck Umu Musume. Oh my God. Okay. And that brings me to my final entry on this list. At the end of the month, the Rose of Versailles remake movie is coming out, which is so fucking cool.
That's right. Utena is for the straights again.
Well, hey, did you ever want to know where Utena came from? Well, guess what? Now you get to know.
I mean, once you watch the original Rose of Versailles or anything about it, you just kind of realize, like, oh, wait, Utena is just this. Like, they're just ripping it off front and center.
Yeah, a lot of Yuri can trace its lineage almost exactly to Rose of Versailles' existence. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Rose of Versailles is also just cool on its own, so I'm actually very excited for this.
I watched the trailer for it. It looks well animated, at least. You know, it's at least from what I've seen, there's not any like major egregious use of CGI or stuff like that.
Yes. And it is very, its art style is very faithful.
Yeah.
To that original 90s shoujo look.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of 80s, 90s look.
I miss that kind of style, that very exaggerated, what do they call it?
Ultra sparkle-ize.
Yeah, ultra sparkly. Who was the...
the precursor to Clamp.
Clamp, yeah. Clamp is what I was trying to think of, like the Magic Knight Ray Earth people.
Yes, where they took all their inspiration from.
Yeah. Everyone is oddly lanky for some reason, very thin-limbed.
Oh, yeah.
And angular shoulders.
Oh, you gotta be.
I love it. It's great. Eyes as big as their face.
Aya Hirano as Marie Antoinette. That's going to be fun.
Marie Antoinette.
I always love when anime portrays Marie Antoinette because they always portray her as extremely sympathetic and the victim of a violent mob. You know, sort of like that Anastasia movie that came out.
Yes.
Japan tends to be a pretty big monarchy apologist, unfortunately. But Rose of Versailles is still very cool.
Oh, man, is that it? Is that the anime 2025 season that's on our purview?
Things always crop up, you know, as they do. We might grow the list. We might shrink the list. I bet I'm not going to watch some of these. But for now, that is anime 2025. Spring season anime 2025.
Springing it up out here with anime. It just keeps coming. Oh, God, it won't stop. It will not stop.
This week. We're cutting it real close. So by the next episode, we're already going to be doing episode one reports.
Oh, boy.
Very excited.
I am actually excited. I'm definitely going to watch Lazarus, like we said. There's a couple things on here. G-Cux that I really want to check out. I will say, after reviewing this list together, looking at everything, I am so much more helpful for this season than I was for the winter.
The last one?
Yeah, winter 25, 24.
Yeah, boy. That one just, whoo, boy, that sucked.
That was a brutal slog to get through. Obviously, we barely made it out alive. I know a little Okinawan now, and you now believe that the Earth is round.
That it goes around the sun. You are really, conflating round Earth and heliocentrism.
It's called orb.
It is called orb. Yes.
They go together. They go together. You can't deny it.
It's just very funny. Do you want to do a called shot? Just what's going to be the big show this season?
I think that's pretty obvious to me, at least. I think nothing's going to come close to the recognition that G-Cux is going to get. It's got Gundam. It's got Anno. It's got Ava Gundam's robots in it.
Interesting.
That's the big one that everyone's going to be talking about for sure. Hopefully Lazarus is good. Hopefully we don't get another Metallic Rouge like we were lamenting.
That would be nice.
We didn't talk about it, but the gag anime about the One Piece nerd who hangs out with middle schoolers, that's definitely going to be a big one.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great. I'm pointing to the sky right now. My call is a combo of Witch Watch and, unfortunately, the Shionji family incest children.
You think that's going to be the standout?
That's going to be the big shows, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
I got to go with my gut here.
Let's hope that it does not come to that.
I know Witch Watch is going to be big, at least, because it's very endearing. It's it's slop, but it's very endearing slop.
That's what we need right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't always get high-budget reverse harem shows. I think people are starving for that.
Okay. All right, dear, beautiful, tall, handsome listeners, thanks
again. What a great way to end an episode on, a high note of hope.
It's been a while. It's been a long while since we were able to do that.
There's hope for the future.
Hope for anime, at least. Let's not get carried away with the whole future.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean the future of anime. The rest of it, oh, boy.
No, the world's probably still ending in, 10 years tops, so.
I think we're all doomed in that way. But we've got, 40 seasons of anime before the world ends.
And that is something to think about. All right. Is that it? I gotta go
that's
watch some
it.
Anime.
That's it.
I gotta go
that's
watch
it.
Some anime.
We gotta go catch up right now. Okay.
Bye! Bye.
You guys like aren't even addicted to any drugs